Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
And we are live today, Art Rooney Avenue, right in front of Acrisure Stadium. It is a game day. We got a lot going on in Pittsburgh, and welcome inside Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. Bob Pompiani with you for the next hour and a half for our program, and then Doran Dickerson joins me for Pitt Panther Preview from 12:30 until 1:30. It's Pitt, and it's West Virginia, and that's all you need to say. Backyard brawl, and this is one of college football's most storied rivalries. It'll be the 107th meeting between Pitt and West Virginia. 75 miles, 79 up and down the road separates these two, and they'll play again today. And the Panthers are trying to do something they haven't done in quite some time. That is starting 3-0. So they did that back in 2020. If they win today, they'll do that after a tremendous comeback last week against Cincinnati. And in that game, Eli Holstein really showed some growth, especially late in the game in the crunch moments when they were down by 21 points at one point in that game with 3:50 left in the third quarter. And the next thing you know, Holstein and many others contributed to that win, of course, with some big plays. I thought Cincinnati got a little too complacent, to be honest with you. When you have a lead that big, sometimes you become cautious. Desmond Reed got open, and boy, was he good. This transfer has been outstanding. He leads the nation in all-purpose yards at 244 a game, fifth in rushing at 146. He had a big game last week and became the first Pitt Panther. Think about this. In the long history of the Pitt Panthers, the first to have both 100 yards rushing and then 100 yards in the air as a receiver. So Pitt, after wins at Kent, against Kent State at 55-24, and then last week coming back from the dead to win 28-27, back-to-back home weekends, West Virginia here at 3:30 kickoff, and then Youngstown State before they delve into their ACC play. And listen, the way it's gone, this ACC looks very beatable at times. I mean, there are a lot of teams that are not as good as I thought they may be, and that includes Clemson in this bunch. Who knows? Pitt wins here today. It could just set them up for a pretty good run in the ACC. How far that takes them, who knows? But they got to win the home games, and that's the way I see it. They have home games against California, Syracuse, Virginia, Clemson. They haven't seen Clemson in a while in the regular season. They will on November the 16th. And as for West Virginia, well, it's a team that got its hands full against Penn State. They lost that game. It was interrupted with lightning and a storm down there in Morgantown, 34-12, Penn State all over them. And Penn State struggled last week, had to come back to win, maybe a letdown week for them. And then West Virginia beat Albany 49-14. If you remember this series, it's gone back and forth. There was a great game here at Acrisure Stadium. Pitt won, Devonshire interception late in that game, a high-scoring affair. But it's not been that way generally. Last year, West Virginia won 17-6 down at Milan-Puskar Stadium, and that was all, you know, just mistakes, clearly mistakes by Pitt. They threw three interceptions, and when that happens, you're not going to win many games. Three of them, and I think Phil Jurkovec had less than 100 yards, if I remember correctly. When you pass the ball for less than 100 yards and you throw three interceptions, there's no way. And that ruined, quite frankly, a good defensive effort by Pitt's defense. They only gave up 200-plus yards in that game. It was really a bad game, to be honest. But West Virginia came away winning 17-6. So today, Pitt will look for some revenge in this game. We'll talk about that at 412-928-9370. You can hit me up on Twitter at KDPump. And want to take your phone calls up until 12:30 about this and also what's going on with the Pittsburgh Steelers. They're going out to Denver, a road win last week, 18-10. Very conservative road win, but it's a win nonetheless. They relied on Chris Boswell, not only in the field goal department, but he hadn't punted for 10 years. And the next thing you know, he's forced in there because of the injury to Cameron Johnston. And then, boom, he hits a 43-yarder. Beautiful special teams coverage there by Scotty Miller. And that turned out to be a huge play in that game as the defense really made life difficult for Kirk Cousins. And you can tell these guys coming back from surgery need a little bit more playing time. He did not play in the preseason. It showed. A lot of quarterbacks didn't play in the preseason, and it shows. And bottom line here, they are in a situation where the you know, Steelers can go out to Denver and win. Bo Nix had problems last week, and he's a rookie. And Mike Tomlin and that defense have had their way with rookies in the NFL. This defense right now is healthy for the Pittsburgh Steelers, and when it's healthy, it's a very good defense. It's later in the year when you see some injuries, and then, you know, the attrition game becomes a factor. And when that happens, you know, things can go badly in terms of big plays against. The offense clearly has to do more. There is no question. Justin Fields looks to get the start, although, again, that's not necessarily official here as of now. Coming up tonight, it's the Mike Tomlin Show. We have it for you on KDKA, 11:35 after the late news. But it looks like Fields is going to be that man. But, you know, Russell Wilson is coming back from a calf injury, claims he's going slowly. I really think the Steelers feel comfortable that Fields did what he had to do last week, and that is not turn the ball over. That has been the one thing about him that's been a problem over his career, especially in Chicago, turning the ball over, whether it's interceptions or fumbles. And we saw the first snap of that game last week down in Atlanta was a botched center quarterback exchange, and you can't afford to do that. Fortunately for them, they not only recovered, they gained 3 yards on that play, but you get the feel that Justin Fields is being told that. Don't turn the ball. It's a blueprint that we saw last year, quite frankly, a lot. When you look at the passing charts, if you didn't know better, if I put four passing charts in front of you, one was Kenny Pickett, one was Mitch Trubisky, one was Justin Fields. I'll leave, actually, Rudolph out of it because I did think he threw the ball down the field and in the middle of the field a little bit more. But the Steelers have largely ignored the middle of the field. There are reasons for that, I suppose. But you cannot be successful long run if you keep not throwing to the middle of the field. They have guys who are fast. Throw them the ball sometimes. Slant patterns over the middle. I'm sure we're going to see a lot more than we saw in week one. Week one was more possess the ball, which they did, 35 minutes to 24 minutes. And in that regard, I thought their offensive line did a very good job. They were playing with a rookie at center who has an interest in this game here for sure. And if he wasn't flying for Denver, I'm sure Zach Frazier would be here today. But also Spencer Anderson at left guard. Spencer Anderson's a seventh-round pick from last year. He was outstanding, I thought, in that game. Now, I would also expect that Zach Frazier will get better as the year goes on, knowing that Sayamalu will be back and at his left side. So that would help him as well. But overall, a good defensive effort, good special teams, no mistakes on the offense. That's normally a recipe to win if you're the Pittsburgh Steelers. I just hope they don't rely on it every week, because against some of the elite teams, you cannot survive that way, in my opinion, man. You got to score more points. And they need someone to compliment George Pickens. And clearly, Justin Fields was looking to Pickens a lot. And at some point, that's going to change. Now we got Patrick Surtain, who's going to be on him this week. That will be interesting to see somebody else, because Surtain's one of the best in the game, just signed a big contract for Denver. So I would expect them to try to get the ball to Pickens, but I also would expect it to be more difficult than last year. And then what? You got to go to Freiermuth. You got to go to other guys deeper in the middle of the field. 412-928-9370. Want to remind you that Fan Twitter is brought to you by South Hills Kia in Peters Township. Visit them, southhillskia.net. And our fan text line is brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless they get money for you. Our show is brought to you by the good people of Number One Cochran. Shop 24/7 with Expressway at Cochran.com. PNC Bank, make today the day. Ireland Contracting, home of the nightly sports call. Iron Rock Tap House in Greensburg. Come see what everybody's talking about. All right, call me. Let me know what you think about those things. The Pirates last night here won a game. Lost a game, I'm sorry, 8-3, but it was over in one inning, quite frankly. Luis Ortiz contributed with a throwing error that really opened the floodgates. You know, Kansas City's a team that you look at them, and they had less than 60 wins last year. I think 58 or 56 or something like that. And here they are competing for a wild card, if not the division, with Cleveland. Cleveland's been doing a very good job, again, with a similar payroll to Pittsburgh Pirates, not much more. There are ways to get this done. But if you look at Kansas City, Kansas City's done it by not only picking the right people, but developing the right people. Bobby Witt Jr. obviously is what he is, but they've complemented that with free agent signings. They've made a couple of trades. The one for Chapman last year was a big one. They got a guy who's been one of their better pitchers. So there are creative ways to do it, and they've spent in free agency also, but it's not necessarily about how much you spend. It's about where the money goes and what kind of productivity you get from the players you spend money on. And that's where the difference has been. So the Pirates lost last night 8-3. They are far out of the playoff race at this point. In fact, it looks like there's only one team in the wild card race that can catch any of the three ahead of them, and that would be the Atlanta Braves. But the New York Mets are unbelievably on fire right now. They have caught fire in every possible way. Watch out for the Mets down the stretch. A lot of times you get, you know, a team that's kind of going back and forth, not healthy, had some injuries, not hitting in clutch situations. The Mets have suddenly put it together with big, big innings. They were no hit the other day until the ninth inning. And then in the ninth inning, they scored six runs. Not only ruined a no-hitter, they got six runs and won the game. Very interesting stuff indeed. 412-575, that's not the right number. That's the sports call. But you can mark that down, too, at night. Call at 575-2600. This is 412-928-9370. So the interesting game, we'll have it for you tomorrow on KDK2 TV, is the Pittsburgh-Denver game. Denver lost at Seattle last week. And again, Bo Nix, who looked very good in the preseason, struggled. And you should expect, I think, a different strategy tomorrow by the Pittsburgh Steelers. Last week against Kirk Cousins, they knew they did not have to do anything in terms of rushing the passer. They developed a lot of push forward with their defensive line. They didn't have to go after it with exotic blitzes because they knew Kirk Cousins was compromised coming back from that surgery. That's a tough surgery on the Achilles to come back from. And he was reluctant to throw, and when he did, he was throwing. You could tell he was favoring that leg, and he threw off balance. Very erratic decisions. You don't see that normally for Kirk Cousins. It's going to take some time, which is why I thought he should have played in the preseason a little bit to give himself a look. But I know that argument goes back and forth about why play him. It doesn't matter. But in terms of rhythm for the first game of the season, we've seen it throughout the NFL the last several years. Some quarterbacks just don't have it, and you lose a game, and that game could be a big game at the end of the year. But Cousins was not going to be a challenge running. They knew that, so they flooded the zone. They forced him to play. They got pressure up front. Good job by Ogunjobi. Good job by Cam Hayward. Good job from all of those people up front. Montrevious Adams continues to do great work when he gets in there. And I think Benton's going to be a really good player on a consistent level. He didn't have one of his best games last week, but I thought in the preseason, and when you see the natural talent, how difficult he is, at that nose position, what he can do, it's going to help a lot, obviously. So they got natural pressure that forced mistakes. In this game against Denver, I don't know that I would do the same thing. Although you have to respect, you know, Bo Nix's ability to run, because that's what he does. He runs. If you allow him to break those contained moments. However, you could blitz him and confuse him. I thought he looked awfully confused last week at times when there was pressure. And for a first-year player, he's going to find that to be the case in the NFL. So if I, you know, were the Steelers, Terrell Austin, Mike Tomlin, I may decide to go after him a little bit and test him and mix up my blitzes. Confusion is a best asset for a defense. If you can confuse a quarterback, and again, the veterans, you may not be successful this way, but for a young player, who I think is going to be a good player, by the way, I think that's the way to go. You could force, you know, mistakes. Minka Fitzpatrick comes up with an interception. He hadn't had one all last year. I thought he made some good plays last week, and in the run game in particular. So I think they got some really good potential to create defensive plays tomorrow. And if they do, then it's incumbent that this offense not just settles for three. It's about scoring points in the red zone. Which leads to this question, too. You know, special teams player of the week this week was Chris Boswell. And I ask, who else would it be? I mean, six field goals, three over 50 yards, a punt that was one of the key plays in the game. Who else would it be? However, Mike Tomlin may be tempted to use that leg in the rarefied air of mile high to try to kick, you know, I hope it doesn't come down to that sometimes. If it's third and short, if you're at their 38-yard line or whatever, and you don't want to try a field goal, just go for it. I'm okay with that. We saw Justin Fields, what he can do with his legs last year, last week, a third and seven, and he used the legs to keep the drive going, move the chains. But the temptation is always to use Boswell when you're in that situation because you know he's going to be good. I wonder what his limit is. I wonder what his range would be in Denver with that rarefied air. I mean, I could see him kicking the ball from 70 yards and have a really good shot at making it. Do you think it would ever come to that? Let me know what you think at 412-928-9370. So we'll talk about all of that. Pretty soon, hockey's going to get started. Still no Sidney Crosby signing. I think it's just a matter. I think all of that stuff has been agreed to generally, but there may be one or two things that they're haggling about. But, you know, the bottom line is he's going to be here, and hopefully the offseason moves that Kyle Dubas has made, and they brought in a lot of new players. Younger players. They need younger blood to mix with the older blood here, and they got to have it And you got to create opportunities for him too. You can't just have him, you know, playing 4 minutes a game. Some of these guys, and I think Drew O'Connor's a good example of that. You know, it took him a while to get a regular time, and then all of a sudden he's playing on the top line. He proves he can do it. They need guys within their system to come in, contribute, and it would help that would happen right now. 412-928-9370 is the number to call. So we are here until 12:30. We will take a break here, and I want to get back to your phone calls. You can also hit me up on Twitter at KDPump. Again, it's 412-928-9370. We got a beautiful day for football. It's going to be hot. Pitt Panthers, West Virginia Mountaineers. Pitt is an underdog in this game. Will they win? How will they win? Let me know. Call 412-928-9370. It's the Bob Pompeiani Show on the road at Rooney Avenue in front of Acrisure Stadium right here on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. Beautiful day for football here on the North Shore. It's Pitt and West Virginia coming at you today, 3:30. Our pregame show begins here at 12:30. Doran Dickerson and I, followed by the network pregame show for 2 hours leading the kickoff. Pitt is an underdog to West Virginia today as the Panthers look to exact revenge for a 17-6 loss last year, down in Morgantown when Phil Jurkovec and the offense had all sorts of problems. And their defense played a good game. We've been talking a little bit, and call me here at 412-928-9370. We're right in front of Acrisure Stadium here at the Rooney Avenue, and this is going to be the Rockin' on Rooney place later this afternoon when the Pitt band gets here. A lot of the students coming on down, so stop on by and say hi. But we didn't talk a lot about defense. Pitt's defense was good last year down there in Morgantown, could have won. The Steeler defense was outstanding in week one. It led to this, you look about anniversary dates. 25 years ago this week, the Steelers beat the Cleveland Browns 43-0. And in that game, the disparity of offenses is just incredible. It's one of the most lopsided statistical games you will find in NFL history. The Steelers had 34 first downs to 2 for Cleveland. That's it. Third down conversions, the Steelers 15 of 21 for 71%. Cleveland 0 of 7 for 0%. I mean, the yardage was, everything about it was so one-sided, it should have been more than 43-0. But speaking of Cleveland, they're having issues with Deshaun Watson, another case brought against him, although that's not a new case. It was back in 2020, but it's a big cloud that overshadows everything they're doing. It's funny that you see Baker Mayfield doing such a great job in Tampa, and if the Browns had decided to keep Baker Mayfield instead of moving on from him, and again, I think it's more ownership, Jimmy Haslam, not necessarily the way Kevin Stefanski felt, because Baker Mayfield was gutting it out with some injuries, and he still was a guy who was your property. Number one, you developed him. They moved away from him. They got impatient. A team that's never had really any consistent quarterback play moved away from a guy who ultimately might have given it to them. And they bring in Watson, gave up a ton, and they're going to be digging out from that for quite some time now. Anyway, Cleveland looked terrible in their first game. Cincinnati looked awful in their first game. The Ravens looked good, but they had too much of a matchup at Kansas City, so the Steelers are 1-0 heading into week number 2. And they can make it 2-0 on a road, which would be big coming home to the Chargers next week for the home opener. So back to that game a little bit. You know, one of the things you didn't talk too much about, we spent a lot of time on Boswell, a lot of time on pressure, interceptions, turnovers, whatever. Joey Porter Jr. did a drape job on Drake London. There was no hotline bling for Drake in this game, none whatsoever, because JPJ was all over him. Only 2 catches for 15 yards, and that's one of their top end, products. Now, a lot of that is Kirk Cousins not being able to find him, get him the ball. Cousins looks hesitant, but he was outstanding. The longest play Atlanta had last week was a 20-yard completion, and it was only after a deflected ball that should have been intercepted went into the hands of Ray McLeod. That was it, nothing else. In fact, if you look at their first drive, which they only got 3 points, which I thought was a key point of this game, 13 plays, 64 yards in that first drive. They get 3 points only because of a good tackle for loss by T.J. Watt, who had a monster game, and then a nice play, I thought, also by Peyton Wilson to make a tackle on Bijan Robinson, forced him to take a field goal. But they had 64 yards on the first drive, did Atlanta. They didn't get that many yards for the entire second half the rest of the day. That's how good the Steeler defense was. And like I said, when it's healthy, knowing that the middle now with Queen and Landon Roberts and Wilson, who I think is a promising guy there, this could be a really good defense. I think we knew it was going to be good, just how good would be the number. But it's going to have to be excellent if the Steelers don't decide to score more points. That's as simple as it gets. They got to come up with plays. I still think the second receiver needs, somebody needs to jump up and establish himself there, because you cannot survive cannot survive in the NFL with one receiver. They're going to be blanketed. There's going to be frustration if it doesn't happen. Somebody on that group has got to assert himself to get more involved in this offense, and Justin Fields has got to look to that person. And getting back to Joe Burrow, I was talking about how, you know, not playing in the preseason. A lot of people say, well, I wouldn't play him in the preseason. Nobody's going to want him to get hurt. I get it. You can get hurt in practice, though. If you're worried about all of that, I think you do need some reps. In his first 2 weeks of the season since 2020, I want you to listen to these numbers for Joe Burrow. First 2 weeks, the worst numbers of any quarterback in the NFL. He's 1-8, 12 touchdowns, 9 interceptions during that time, and he's dead last in QBR. That's the first 2 weeks of the season. So Burrow doesn't get off to good starts, but you know he's going to be good. And they play Kansas City this week. I would imagine that's going to be one of those games that brings out the best in the Cincinnati Bengals, but it will also do so with Kansas City, who just continues to roll right along. So that's an interesting game to watch as the Steelers will play in Denver tomorrow. You'll see it on KDK TV. Our coverage begins at 11:30 a.m., and we have a lot of coverage all day long. After the game, make sure you switch over to KDK Plus. Chris Hoke and I, we'll take your calls, break down, hear from players and coaches alike on the Ford Extra Point Show. That's on KDK Plus tomorrow night. 412-928-9370. A lot to get into, so let's get into it with you. Elizabeth Township is where we're going. Phil joins us right now. Hi, Phil. Welcome to the program.
Hello, Bob. I just want to tell you two reasons. One reason why I'm moving to West Virginia is because my niece's her boyfriend, he went to college in West Virginia, and he's a real big West Virginia fan. And two, I don't want to let my niece down, you know. So that's why I went West Virginia, you know, to win. And I also want to give a shout out to Sergeant Carosa. I visited my old hometown. I went to the Clinton Bills game, and Clinton won. So, and Sergeant Carosa said, when are you going to come into the band? So I was like, I'll try to. So I planned to tell.
All right, Phil.
Sergeant Carosa.
So your vote goes,
I did.
Your vote goes to West Virginia. All right, we'll see. West Virginia is favored in this game. Thanks for the call. Appreciate that, but you know, I think that win last week is going to do a lot for Pitt. I really believe that in this game today. Now, Holstein has not been in a sort of a rivalry game like this. He is a redshirt freshman. You know, the challenge with these guys is keeping him around. If he has a lot of success this year, there'll be people coming to try to poach him away from the Pitt program. The NIL money is real. It's in my opinion, it's been installed in a very haphazard manner to the point now where it's out of control in many ways, and it hurts teams who try to develop players, and you got to constantly be out there trying to keep him and convince him to stay. But Holstein has an opportunity to play here for a while, and I think Nate Yarnell also is a guy who it's nice to have him in, you know, as a backup or somebody who can come in and help them. Let's go out to Ross Traver. Bert joins us right here on the Bob Pompeiani Show. Hey, Bert, what's going on today? How are you?
Hi, Bob. Thanks. Yeah, I'm thinking Steelers, and I agree with what you said. You know, in order to win, they're going to have to throw the ball over the middle. I think one of their problems may be I don't think Anderson is the right guy for the guard position, the left guard. I don't think he's going to help them open up the passing lane. He doesn't seem quick enough. If Sam Alu can't come back, I'd like to see him use the number one pick there since he projected as a guard in the draft, and give that a shot and see if they can get the ball to Freiermuth and maybe one of those other receivers over the middle and open it up.
Well, as far as Spencer Anderson, I think, you know, he's one of those guys who's a very flexible guy. He can play all five positions. This is the first opportunity, so I'm not going to judge him so harshly. Sam Alu is one of the better guys in the game. And I don't know if they're going to spend another. They've spent back-to-back number one picks on offensive linemen, which is another interesting dilemma, right, Bert? You don't know. Like, Dan Moore got injured a little bit. I'm not so sure what, although yesterday it looks like he's going to end up starting again, and Broderick Jones and Troy Fautano are going to play at right tackle or move around. I'm not sure how they're going to be put into play, but you spend all this time on number one picks and drafting him, and I know Broderick Jones is more raw because he hasn't played in that many games, but at some point that has to work itself out. It may be after this year because Dan Moore has 1 year left on a contract, and we'll see what that means, but yeah, I think Sam Alu will help Frazier. I think when he gets in there, he's an established person. But I think Anderson did a pretty good job. It's always good to have people like that.
Yeah, he seems to be more of like a right guard, though, more of like a road grader, a run blocker. He doesn't seem to have that shiftiness that you need to open up a passing lane. And I'd like to see him try something a little different there, but hopefully it'll work out. You know, they need good linemen. That's very important. I'm glad to see him bringing in linemen. I like Jones at right tackle, though. I think he's the guy that really wins in a run on the right side.
Yeah, they need all those guys to play. And, you know, the thing about offensive linemen, thanks for the call, Bert, is that injuries happen. And last year they were lucky they went through the entire season without a significant injury to their offensive line. Already this year they have two, one of whom is out for the season, and Nate Herbig. So they better hope that nobody gets injured there. People talk about trying to handicap teams. You know who has good rosters. You know, there are a lot of teams that have good rosters. The question is, what are the second-line people capable of doing? Because all too often, by 17 games, you're going to have this attrition. You're going to have people in there who are not necessarily your best bets just because of injury. Part of winning a championship, why it's so hard, not only do you have to do the right thing in terms of bringing the right people in, developing those people, play call, all that stuff, but it's something you can't control. It's injuries. And if you stay healthy, you have a very good chance of doing something. If you don't, you're often in a situation. Look at San Francisco from a few years ago. They were, you know, quarterback after quarterback after quarterback. Even Purdy got hope and got hurt in that championship game. They were down to, who was it? Johnson, I think, was the player that could. Jared Johnson. You know, you got to stay healthy. That's the bottom line. If the Steelers can have a defense that stays healthy all year, they're going to be in every single game, I think. It really is. And then it's coming upon the offense to get it done. 412-928-9370. The other item I want to get into is Tua Tagovailoa. And the reason I do is because he has this unbelievable ability not to be able to protect himself. He got a concussion again the other night, and you feel bad. That's a third concussion. They just signed him to a deal that gives him $55 million a year, but a lot of guaranteed money. And now there's talk that he should retire. A lot of the people who have played before him, who've gone through these things, have advised him to just consider it. You don't want to mess up the rest of your life, but that's the toughest thing about being in the NFL and trying to find an elite quarterback. Look how many teams have tried. Look how many teams invest heavily in the hopes of people developing. You're not even paying for established postseason players at this point. You're playing for players you think can be the one big asset to your team that you need on offense, which is a quarterback. Tua hasn't done anything in the postseason, but they're going to invest in him because he's their guy. They developed him. They want him to be that next thing. When he's healthy, he's pretty good. Look at all the other guys who've gotten contracts. A lot of them have not had success in the postseason. But again, it's the hope of the franchise. They will invest to try to continue that development as the quarterback of whomever team you're talking about. It's a hard thing to do. But he's, you know, of all people, too. Damar Hamlin was the guy who tackled him, and it was a perfectly legal hit. It's just that Tua did not go down. He could have slid. He could have done a lot of things. In two of his other concussions, again, he's going head first into things. That's one thing he has to learn better if he's going to continue to play. But it's tough to see a guy with already three concussions documented at this NFL level, and probably more that he had down in Alabama. 412-928-9370 is the number. How do you, if you were to advise Tua Tagovailoa, what would you advise him to do? If you're him, what would you do? Do you remember Andrew Luck? Andrew Luck decided enough was enough. Even though he was only 27, 28 years old, whatever he was, he made a choice that not many people will make. But it came from talking to people who were older. It came from talking to people who had gone through, asking them, what is your life like when you turn 50? I think these are real questions that athletes have to answer. What do you want? You want, you know, your body falling apart? Who knows what your mind will be like when you're 50 years old? Or do you want to continue to play for all this money, knowing that that risk is out there, knowing that your later years can be just awful? 412-928-9370, number to call. We're here until 12:30, and then I'll be joined by Doran Dickerson for Pitt Panther Preview. It is the Pitt Panthers, the West Virginia Mountaineers Backyard Brawl, 107th edition, coming your way later today on your home for Pitt Panthers, right here, 93.7 The Fan. We'll take a break, come back with more phone calls at 412-928-9370, or hit me up on Twitter at KD Pomp. This is the Bob Pompeiani Show on location at Acrisure Stadium on a game day in Pittsburgh.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Beautiful day in Pittsburgh. Come on down to Acrisure Stadium. It's going to be a big crowd. West Virginia and Pitt separated by just 75 miles going up and down Route 79. And they'll be making that trip here. A lot of people will be here from both sides. Last time I was here, Pitt came away with an electric win. Big interception by MJ Devonshire to seal it. Last year it was West Virginia winning 17-6. In the meantime, we're talking a lot about the Steelers and going against Denver. And hypothetical question, Justin Fields plays well, gets a little bit better. Is there any turning back from him? If you're Mike Tomlin, regardless of the situation with Russell Wilson self, let me know what you think on that at 412-928-9370. Is there any turning back? Do you just stick with him as long as you can? We'll certainly find out if that's the case. It'd be an interesting test because you know Russell Wilson wants to play. He would have loved to have played this week, knowing that Sean Payton's on the other side of the field and what Payton did to him. Although I often wondered about that. You would think that, you know, the motivation factor would be in Russell Wilson's favor. But what about the knowledge part? Now, he knows them, but they also know him. That would have been interesting to see. But if Justin Fields plays and plays well, do you turn back at all or you just keep moving ahead with that man? So that's going to be one of the issues that we see moving forward. It's always good to have a quarterback controversy if that qualifies as one to talk about, not only in the radio but television as well. 412-928-9370 is the number to call. Susan is up next. She joins us here on the Fan Hotline. Hello, Susan. How are you on this beautiful day? Sue, are you there?
Oh, yes, I am.
Okay, good. Go ahead.
All right, I'm just on my way back from my granddaughter's soccer game. So when you were talking about the concussion with the Miami quarterback, I don't think he should play again. But my question is, do you not think the league has a responsibility at some point to tell these players they cannot come back?
Well, I think that's a personal choice. I think the league understands what's going on now to the point they have someone there on site. The NFL supplies those people, and they are neurologists. If they sense something, we saw that the other day where a guy looked to get banged up, wasn't sure he wanted to stay in the game. They stopped the game immediately and brought him out to get evaluated. I think they know how much is it. And certainly there have been lawsuit after lawsuit after lawsuit. The league wants to clean that up. But I think individually, Susan, it's up to the player. It's the
really,
player, his family.
Three?
Well, again, what are you supposed to do? I think, you know, he's signed. He wants to play probably for his own. Yeah. He's gotten advice from a lot of different players and maybe coaches who've been in this situation who could advise him to do what he has to do. But I think you can't take the right away from him if he wants to continue to play, knowing the risks. So it's a tough situation. But I tell you, if I were the Dolphins, I'd be awfully cautious with this. I would also try to, if he's going to continue to play, to work on how he goes down after he gets a first down. He has to learn how to slide. He has to learn how to avoid unnecessary contact.
Right. The unfortunate thing I think is that money has just become such the dominating factor that you wonder if there's that, you know, if that will, if the health of the player really ever comes into play. So that's my comment.
I think, well, thank you, Susan. I do think all these guys are humans. You don't want what's bad for them, but ultimately it's their call. You can get all the advice you want, but it's your call. And I think I go back to the Andrew Luck story because he made that call. It wasn't so much concussion. It was internal organs being damaged, and he had had enough of it. I'm sure that Tua has enough money that he can live on the rest of his life. He just signed a contract which has guaranteed money associated with it. If he wants to move away from it, he can. That would be a tough blow for Miami, and that's why it's a risky thing, and that's why the NFL has tried so diligently to protect quarterbacks. But in this case, Tua did not protect himself. Tua should have slid differently. He had no business going headfirst into DeMar Hamlin, who, by the way, had a really good game. You know, a lot of people talked about Hamlin's been just, you know, a courtesy roster spot. The other night, he led them in tackles for Miami with 10. He looked really good, a tackle for loss. And Buffalo has been impressive to start the year 2-0. We have a tweet here from Presto. Matt Presto, thank you for the tweet, at KD Pomp. He says, quite honestly, it might already be too late for Tua Tagovailoa. It wouldn't surprise me if at least he ends up with a severe situation that could lead to his retirement. Really sad, but he's had multiple injuries where he's had shown posturing, which is beyond a concussion. It's a sign of a brain injury, and that's another concern. If you saw him laying there the other night, I mean, anytime you see that, man, it just is a scary situation. So when that happens to you, I mean, it's a real-life situation. His parents, his family have to be involved in what he does next. Does Tua stay on in quarterback or not? So what would you guys do? Would Tua play again? If you were Tua, would you play again? No, there are all these guys moving by here shaking their head. Yes, I don't know if I'd do that. And the only reason I would is because, again, when you get older, when you're younger, you don't really care about 50 years old. You think that's so far away. But when you're, you know, if you listen to people who've gone through these kind of situations, you know that'll come here sooner than later. And the next thing you know is that you're going to be compromising your later years in that search of fame, money, whatever it may be. I think it's a really difficult question to answer. And it's one that Andrew Luck answered. There are others, too, guys who have come along and have decided that's enough. I don't want any more of this career. And the reason I don't is because I do not want to spend the rest of my life having problems medically. Whether it's, you know, brain problems, whether it's leg problems, knee problems, back problems, any kind of problem. When you get older, that stuff is real. You talk to ex-players, they'll tell you what their life is like right now. Those even who have avoided, you know, head injury. It's just a tough, tough thing. If you want to continue to chase it, that's up to you. But if you don't, I wouldn't blame him one bit whatsoever. If he decided that's enough for me, I do not want to continue to do this. I have a life to live, and I'm not going to live it this way. 412-928-9370. Once again, a thank you to our sponsors. At number one Cochrane, go one better. Right in style with number one Cochrane, 19 different locations all throughout Western Pennsylvania and expanding. Also, PNC Bank, make today the day at PNC Bank. Ireland Contracting, home of the nightly sports call. Ireland Contracting does a great job on our program and with their business. And Iron Rock Tap House in Greensburg, come see what everyone's talking about. A lot going on here today down at Rooney Avenue, getting set for Pitt in West Virginia. Got to tell you about the weather, which is brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. 2024 Chevy Silverado, 1500, 1.9% financing up to 36 months with approved credit through GMC Financial. Full terms at sunchevy.com. Today, it's hot, and it's going to get hotter. High of 86 degrees. Tonight, going to be comfortable, clear, 60. Tomorrow, rinse, repeat. It's another opportunity to get outside, do what you got to do with 85-degree temperatures. The Steelers will be in Denver. We begin our pregame coverage at 11:30 a.m. Charlie Batch, Rich Walsh, Jerry Dulac, and I will kick it around from 11:30 to 12. NFL Today on CBS, and then later in the day, it's 4:25 kickoff, the Steelers and the Denver Broncos. So I got 30 more minutes before we turn this into Pitt Panther Preview with Doran Dickerson. Call me at 412-928-9370. If you had to advise Tua Tagovailoa, what would you tell him to do if you were a family member? Play on, risk a lot in your future years, or stick around and try to continue? I don't know. That's a tough, tough question. I know the money is significant. I know all of that's significant. He's a young man. He's not looking necessarily to be 50 and 60, but when you get to be 50 and 60, you understand what the advice is that you're given by some of these older people, including me. I would tell them, think hard about it. It's a tough decision. We're live here, Bob Pompeiani, until 1:30, from 12:30 to 1:30, Pitt Preview. This is the Bob Pompeiani Show on a beautiful day in Pittsburgh, Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. All right, welcome back to 30 more minutes of my program, followed by Pitt Panther Preview. Bob Pompeiani down here at Rooney Avenue, in front of Acrisure Stadium. We're talking a lot about the Steelers tomorrow and Denver, Pitt, and West Virginia today. We have an interesting listener who follows the show, who's following sports. His name's Andy. He's dropped by in person. So, Andy, I gave you the microphone, and I want to hear your thought on Tua Tagovailoa. And if you had to advise him, what would you tell him?
I'd probably tell him, you know, you're a young guy. Give it up, because you use an example of Andrew Luck. Look at what happened to him. Concussions, serious injuries, things like that. I mean, what would you do if you had to make a choice like that?
Well, mine's simple. I want to protect my golf future, my family future, all these future things that I think a young player doesn't necessarily think of. And to me, that's how I would do it. I think he'd have enough money, but I think it's a personal choice. I don't think the NFL can tell him not to play. He has to make that decision one way or the other. I'm sure the Dolphins consider him first, the human aspect of what we're dealing with, then the quarterback. But they also have a financial investment. They want him to play and be healthy.
Right.
It's going to be a tough decision. And, thank you, Andy.
Oh, you're welcome.
I appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Have a nice day at the game, man. All right, thanks. And now, Andy's a tough act to follow,
yeah,
but we have Jeff Hathorn, a man who wears many hats.
I thought it was interesting that you said golf, then family.
Well, no. Come on now, don't. It's family, then golf. But, you know, in that order, something. But the point, you know, you understand. Like, you're also a parent. I'm a parent. If my son, I don't have a son, but if I had a son, and that son was playing, and I saw that, especially the posturing thing where you can tell there's something beyond a concussion. At least I don't know anything. I'm not a doctor. But I know those movements are scary. I would tell him, you have what is your motivation here? I know you, and he has guaranteed money coming anyway, regardless, because of this situation. What would you do?
Well, I think you have to take this into consideration. He plays at the highest level. He wants to show that he's the best in the game. He's worked with his teammates to try to achieve a goal and get to a Super Bowl and win a Super Bowl. So I think that has to be factored in. The first thing I would do with him, assuming he would continue playing, is put that extra protection on.
I know
he might get ridiculed and it's not cool.
Who cares?
And I know James Daniels gets grief for it because, you know, it looks goofy. That's the first thing I would do. If you're going to continue playing, you got to put that thing on. And I don't know if you could change his game. I mean, what makes him special is his ability to run. Maybe what
you
he
can
should do.
His ability to protect himself.
I think what he should do is talk to a Lamar Jackson. Talk to guys that have been successful rushing quarterbacks, because they don't seem to get hit the same way. Like, they've figured out angles, when to slide, getting out of bounds. And I think he needs to do that before it's really bad. I mean, no
it
one
may
wants
already
to see
be
something
bad.
Happen.
I mean, he said how many of these concussions, not even counting the ones at Alabama. And, you know, I mean,
Troy Polamalu had a number in college, and he was able to figure it out and play through the rest of his career primarily, you know, injury-free or concussion-free. So I think that opportunity does exist, because think of how many times Polamalu, you know,
but
his
the one
head
thing
was involved.
That is an uncertainty, and when you're young, you do not consider this option. When you get older, things start changing a little bit.
Oh, none of those guys think about it.
They don't think about it.
None of them.
My question is, should they?
I mean, Ryan Clark used to mock it, says, listen, I know I'm not going to walk when I'm 50, but I don't care. I want to play the game right now.
If that's your choice, then that's your choice. But be careful what that choice is. Luck had a different opinion. And I've heard him subsequently talk about still stuff he's dealing with as a result, and he's a young man. But he decided, I'm not going to throw away my years in order to pursue this, even though he got criticism for it as well.
I think Andrew Luck had the benefit of a father that not only played the sport but was involved in the sport and probably heard stories, met people, and had a different understanding that most people don't. And I think he was – listen, people think, oh, he wasted this or he should have done – that was one of the most courageous things we've seen in the NFL in the last couple of decades. For him to have that kind of talent, to make that kind of money, and walk away from it.
Yeah.
That takes courage. People say, oh, that's weak. Actually, no. That takes a lot of courage
I think that's strong. I think you made a tough decision. This is your decision, nobody else's. He had to do it, and he did. And, of course, people in Indianapolis thinking, what are you doing now? We have a team. And that's the problem with this. A lot of times people don't look at the person we're talking about. It's just about the team. What are you doing to the team if you're walking away? He can't worry about that. Anyway, Jeff Hathorn here. He's a busy man covering this game. A lot with the Steelers all week. I want to ask you about this quarterback situation first. And my question I've been trying to put out with people at 412-928-9370 is, if Justin Fields plays well, do you turn your back on any thought of him moving away? He's got to be your quarterback moving forward? Or at what point would Russell Wilson get a chance to play if he's healthy?
Define well. I think that's what it comes down to.
They win.
If it's a performance like last week, I think Russ has a chance to start in week 3.
All right. How about if it's a performance like he has one passing touchdown, one rushing touchdown, no turnovers, and they win, you know, fairly convincingly?
I still think Russ has a chance, because I'm sure that there was some discussions, if not promises, made. But with each practice and each opportunity that he's not out there, he grows farther and farther from being the quarterback. Forget about what Tomlin thinks. The players start to get to know the new guy. And
is this similar to
listen
last
to what
year?
Those guys are saying about Fields in the locker room.
You know, last year it was Pickett, who's your number one, and Russ is still listed QB1 on their depth chart. So Rudolph comes in and plays extremely well, and Mike is not going to go back to Pickett while this is happening. Is it similar? I know it's at the beginning of the season, not the end of the season, which gave that one more leverage, but
I think the resume is different. I mean, you're talking about a guy 13 years, won a Super Bowl. Still, you watch him in practice. I think I can say this. He throws a pretty deep ball. Like, he throws the nicest deep ball. He commands things well. Guys do respect him. I still think he has game. But if you start winning with somebody else, the guys in the room are going to be like, kind of like they were with Mason last year. Like, hey, we want to roll with this guy right now. Doesn't mean that, I mean, who knows what happens in 2 weeks health-wise with any of them. But Russ is new to all those guys. And that's the advantage that Justin has being new as well. I mean, that, it's not like you're looking at an established quarterback.
All right, let's talk about how you would defend Bo Nix. And I brought this up earlier because I think it's interesting. Last week, they didn't have to get exotic blitzes with Kirk Cousins because he was kind of a sitting duck. He was compromised by his surgery and his rehab and getting back into it. Bo Nix is different. He can move, and he will move if you give him the chance. How would you defend? Would you go after him a little bit and confuse him, take chances, put pressure on your corners, one-on-one coverage?
I'm not going to sit back. I want to be aggressive. Make him make plays on us. Like, put him in a situation where he's got to make a play. And if he makes plays and he does something consistently against your defense, you make an adjustment. But I love the way they're using linebackers, how Peyton Wilson is working in, and they're using three middles at some time. How Nick Herbig has come in, and they've had three outside linebackers in at the same time, and he's kind of spinning around and rushing the middle. Like, they are able, because of that speed at linebacker, to be creative. And I think they want to continue to do that and get into a rookie's head about, man, where are these guys coming from? As opposed to, like, sitting back and allowing him to get comfortable. Just go at him. And if you get burned for it, you get burned for it. But be aggressive.
So on offense, I saw something, Jeff, I thought I'd never would see. Four tight ends in at one set. Four tight ends.
14 personnel.
I'd be like, yeah, the four, what? I know that Arthur Smith loves tight ends, you know. But four of them at one time, and we saw three a lot. Is that just last week's game plan?
So we saw at training camp when they were doing seven shots that they would have three tight ends lined up at the same on the same side, and they would run behind that and run different types of plays off of that. Like, Arthur Smith loves tight ends. That's where he, as Dorn can attest to, that's where he cut his teeth. And they also have talent there. I would ask you this. Beyond George Pickens, would you rather have Pat Freiermuth? Would you rather have Darnell to block and potentially catch? And Connor Hayward makes plays.
Yeah.
So I don't know if you're really losing a lot by having those tight ends on the field. Now, four is a bit extreme, but Mykole Pruitt has been, you know, Arthur Smith knows him very well, and I think he can make a play or two. And if you're looking,
he did last week, right? He got
so
in there.
If they had a stronger receiving core, I think you play to your strengths. I think there's strengths that are tight ends when you look at the receivers.
All right, one more quick question about this.
Beyond George, obviously.
Yeah, the Steelers, I'm going to ask you about this one here, Pitt and West Virginia. But the tackle situation is always a topic of conversation. Dan Moore continues to stave off whatever is at the other side. He's not going to give up that position. He was injured this week, which I thought would be an opportunity. But we see that that's really not going to be the case, is it?
I want to say this first off. I admire Dan Moore.
Yeah, me too.
Because he was the starter basically for 2 years. Then they drafted a tackle in the first round. Then he started again, and they drafted another tackle in the first round. And this dude, he doesn't whine about it. He just comes to work. And I think that's earned him the opportunity. Now, that being said, it's inevitable that they're going to have Jones and Faletano as their tackles. But I think the way they're working it now, they want to test their toy. So I think you're going to see Faletano start. And I think if he struggles, Broderick's going to be in pretty quickly. Or if Dan Moore struggles, you'll see Broderick on that side. They have three tackles for two positions, they believe, right now. But they want to test Troy. How does he handle it in a game? And, I mean, if anybody watch college film of him, like, his ability to get to the next level for a tackle is pretty amazing. Like, he is a serious athlete. And the smile on his face this week of, like, man, I want to get in there. Like, he stood on the sidelines in Atlanta, and that just juiced him up even more to get into a game.
And he also has more experience than Broderick, still more of a raw, you know, talent.
Yeah, play more games.
Play more games. How many years? Yeah. The whole time
it's
over
like
there.
It's like Frazier stepping in. He played 44 college games or whatever the final total was. Right. So he had a ton more experience than previous centers.
It's also Denver. It's like Bo Nix. He's had 6 years of playing, 5, 6 years, whatever it was, at two different universities. All right, real quick, before we go to break here, and that would be this game. West Virginia won last year 17-6. Phil Jurkovec just threw too many interceptions, not enough yards, wasted a good defensive effort. You go down there and limit them to 17, you should win. Previous year, we saw a lot of points. What do you expect today from this one?
I expect points for both sides. I think both offenses have I think Pitt has to prove that they can stop the run. That's one. That's the big one for Pitt's defense. For offense, Panthers, they have an explosive playmaker now. Des Reed. When Pitt has had good offenses, they had Jordan Addison, explosive playmaker. Izzy Abanikanda, explosive playmaker. So far through a couple of games, Desmond Reed has been that guy that can make that play. And it's not only the 78-yard punt return, it's the 20-yard play here. Yeah. It's moving the chains. And I think Eli has done a nice job of not getting behind the sticks. He at least gets something. He'll push forward for something and avoid those big negative plays, which I think is a credit for a redshirt freshman. Now, he's never seen anything like this. And I don't just mean the team he's playing, but the atmosphere.
Rivalry, right.
Like, let's see how he handles this. I love his accountability, though. He's the first to say, it's me. Told Cade Bell walking in at halftime, that's on me, coach. That's on me. We got to make this better. And you got to love that attitude from a young guy.
Well, you mentioned all the great running backs, and it goes back even before that. Never in the history of Panther football has a running back had 100 yards rushing and receiving in one game, and he became the first to do it. So you like who today? I'll put you on the spot.
I like Pitt.
Yeah, close game. I think it is going to be. 2.5 points is a spread, so turnovers, a lot of things can happen. Pitt cannot afford to do what they did last week, though, and fall behind that big, because that's impossible to do 2 weeks in a row.
You know what's cool in this rivalry? It's guys like 5'8 and shorter that make big plays. Yeah. Like, if you look at West Virginia's 3 through 5 leading rushers of all time, they're all 5'8 or under. And, like, that's kind
of
cool.
I remember the days of Amos Zeroway when he was doing
Zeroway,
his thing.
Slayton.
Right.
I mean, they've had guys that could make plays, and now it's Pitt who has the shorter difference maker.
All right, we got a lot going on, and we're going to continue. Jeff, thanks for stopping by. I appreciate
it.
I know you'll be up throughout the day, pregame shows or whatever else, so look forward to it. Keep on the good work.
Thank you.
Jeff Hathorn will also be on the number one Cochran Sports Showdown tomorrow night. We're live, so you better get some extra coffee in your system, because we're going to go on late just because of the football. But that's the way it is. You know,
it's
that.
Just part of it. I mean,
just part of the.
There'll be enough in that game that'll keep you rolling. We
could do an hour and a half every night. Sometimes
and from this
I wish
game.
We from this game too. All right, Jeff Hathorn, going to be covering this game today. 412-928-9370. Want to thank our sponsors once again. PNC Bank, number one Cochran, Ireland Contracting, Iron Rock Tap House. Shortly, Doran Dickerson will join me. We'll talk Pitt, West Virginia in our preview show. We'll continue right here live. Outside of Acrisure Stadium, it's Pitt, West Virginia, and Steelers, Broncos. Two big games going on this weekend. How do you feel about it? And what would you do with Justin Fields if he continues to play well? You just ride him? Or would you go to Russell Wilson at some point? 412-928-9370. Back with more right here, Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. All right, we're back here on a beautiful Saturday in Pittsburgh. It's Pitt and West Virginia going at it today at 3:30. We have our pregame show coming up momentarily. But he's here early and often, so Doran Dickerson, who does the show with me prior to every Pitt game. I want to get your thoughts about the Steelers, because this is a big game tomorrow. It's a big game because the Steelers, if you get two road wins to start the season, it sets you up pretty good, and we know what the back half of the schedule is. How important is it, and from your point of view, how would you attack Bo Nix?
Oh, I would just come after him.
They didn't have to do that last week.
They didn't have to do that, but Mike Tomlin, I think, you know, he's, I think, third in the last 50 years or something of head coaches that, you know, the winning percentage against young quarterbacks. So, you know, if, you know, that place does get loud. I've played there before, and it does get loud. So whenever you're on the road, and obviously the altitude, that does come into effect a little bit. You know, just get after him. Show him some different looks. And whenever I say get after him, doesn't just necessarily mean blitzes. Could be like window dressing. Could be looking like you're going to blitz and not blitz. Do different things that he hasn't seen. So I think this is going to be a chess match between Tomlin and Peyton. And, you know, Justin Fields obviously is the big elephant in the room of being the starting quarterback. And I know Russell Wilson really wants to get out there and has that chip on his shoulder to want to get back at his team. But Justin Fields has to take that next step as well. He has to take the next step with that offense.
So I asked Jeff Hathorn this. I'd be anxious to be in your shoes. You played at a high level in offense. You have a quarterback that's playing well. And you also have somebody who has a big resume like Russell Wilson. Now, if Fields plays well and does better than even last week and they win, how do you turn your back on him moving forward, or do you?
I don't think you can, right? I don't think you can. You got to go with the hot hand. It's about winning football games, and you know, I would love to see what Russell Wilson has and what it would look like in Arthur Smith's offense. I would love to see that, but how could you leave money on the table? You know, really, if Justin Fields is playing well, you can always go to Russell Wilson at some point. He will always be there. He'll always be a reliable veteran. You don't have to worry about him learning the playbook and learning getting up to speed with things. He's already acclimated with that. So I don't see how you could turn your back. I think you got to ride the hot hand.
I believe that of any quarterback in the NFL who's under more pressure, and I use the word pressure, because pressure about your future life in the NFL, money, everything. Nobody has more on the line than Justin Fields. You can look at a lot of quarterbacks who've been around, but not a lot of them know their futures. They become backups because they've had and failed for. I mean, Justin Fields is in a situation where he can actually earn himself a big payday if this continues. Is there anyone with more pressure on him from that point of view?
Russell Wilson. In a way, in a different realm.
Okay. But I was trying to speak of in money terms.
In
like
money terms,
contracts.
Of making money, he has a lot of pressure, and all he has to do is play within himself. That's one. He has all the intangibles, but also play within Arthur Smith, and they have to trust each other. And I think that for the first time, he could be in that system where he can use his skills, but also he could keep it reined in with what the offense has to offer, and not, you know, have those erratic plays that we've seen over the years whenever he played for Chicago.
So the other question I asked Jeff and a lot of people who earlier called in, and that's Tua Tagovailoa. You saw that play, and it was very ironic that it was DeMar Hamlin who's the guy. But he did everything right. Tua did everything wrong. He has had this – it's just an irresponsible, I'm sorry the word, of not knowing when to go down, not knowing when to slide. Hurt himself again. It's a scary situation. I understand the need to play. I understand why you want to play. I understand the money. But if his health is in jeopardy at all, would you continue to play? He's such a young guy.
I would leave it up to the specialists. I would leave it up to the professionals. And the professionals are the doctors, the neurologists.
And if they said no and he wanted to continue, then what?
No. I mean, every
so
competitor.
So they stop him?
I would take him out of harm's way. And sometimes a player needs that. They need that, you know, advising from somebody else to say no. Like, you know, we don't want to risk, you know, further injury of long-term detrimental, you know, pain and just, you know, all the crazy things that could happen to yourself and to your brain. We would have to step in and say no. Like, you have to get in the way of players sometimes. And I think Tua would be like, you know, he's ultra competitor. He's going to be like, I want to play. Need somebody to say no. You know, this is too risky.
Doran, hang on. We're going to get started here with Pit Panther pregame coming up. I want to remind you, though, that Fan Twitter is brought to you by South Hills Kia and Peters Township, SouthHillsKia.net. Fan Text Line brought to you by Edgar Steiner & Associate, personal injury law firm, where they always say there's never a fee unless they get money for you. Thank you to number one Cochran, shop 24/7 with Expressway at Cochran.com. Thank you to PNC Bank, make today the day. Ireland Contracting, home of the nightly sports call, and Iron Rock Tap House in Greensburg. Come see what everyone's talking about. We're talking Pitt and West Virginia. It's coming up next, our pregame show. We have 3 hours of pregame shows for you, so stick around for that. Fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. All I got to say, sun, 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 and more sun for the next few days. It's been the way it is. Our thanks to Sun Chevrolet for the forecast. All right, that's going to do it for my program. Bob Pompiani signing off. Shortly, we'll be back with Doran Dickerson with Pitt Panther pregame on the home of Panther Sports. It's Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan.